Today's message is totally ruined, totally redeemed. If you would take your Bibles out, say this simple prayer. Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name. Amen. With today being Resurrected Sunday, I want to take your ashes of your life and begin to water them. But with that, you have to understand where you have come from and where we're going. The question isn't whether I believe that Christ dwells in me or he's the risen Lord. It's whether you believe. Whether you believe. You see, what got us here was my faith, as small as it was. What is going to take us further is all our faith working together to do the will of God. This is not a one man band show or whatever they call it. And I've learned as I recuperate it, and Pastor Mike sharing things with me, we're already beginning to step into those things. We've eliminated some of the things that would keep us as a small church. We are preparing for increase, is what the word says. And so what I would say to you, do you really believe that Jesus existed? Do you really believe that he died on the cross? Do you believe that he took all your sins, the sins of the world, and this is a really big one, and took it to the cross and left it there? Yep. He did. Now, what's in store for us is to receive all the blessings that he has for us. If you would be kind to turn to Genesis 3. We're going to go on a little rabbit trail to understand about this sin that has totally corrupted us. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God said indeed, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God said? And the woman replied to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And we all know that the truth of it is our spirits died the moment that they partook of that. But do you understand that sin was working even with our first parents, and every preceding generation after that, they became more corrupt, more evil, their desires for evil consumed them so much that God looked down in Genesis 6 and he said, the Lord saw the wickedness of man and it was great in the earth. And that every intent and thought of his heart was only to do evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Think about it. A holy God was grieved that his creation, what he intended us to be, was corrupted. And it grieved him so much to see what we do. We see that our relationships aren't where they need to be. We see that the relationships in families behind closed doors are in turmoil. We see that in the workplace, relationships of submitting unto authority above us is now in such a way that we want what we want. We know better than you. Don't tell me I have to do something. We see that in government. That relationships, even though I say it's politicized, if we truly had Christ in our life, our government wouldn't be at odds with each other. And because our government is at odds with each other, we're at odds with each other. Because sin has totally corrupted us. And God is looking down. And it causes him to weep. We know that he destroyed the inhabitants of the first world by the flood. We know that Noah was righteous. And God started again. And from the time of Noah to the time of today, our flesh has been corrupted so much so that we misconstrue who God is. We believe that God is like us, when the truth of the matter is, God is nothing like us. God is spirit. He can't die. He lives forever and ever. And his heart is to share that eternal life, that uncreated life that he has, and he freely offers it to us through the person of Jesus Christ. He had laws that he gave to Moses. And we know that the law was given in such a way that if we try to keep the law, which it's impossible for us to do, because sin deceives us, that we can break the law and no one's going to be hurt by it. We know Jesus said that if you break even one jot of the law, you're guilty of the breaking them all. What was God going to do? He has a plan for mankind. That plan has culminated at the cross, which today many people don't believe in. They don't believe that a man went to the cross. They don't believe God went to the cross to satisfy the righteous requirements of the law. We are so totally ruined by sin that only by the Spirit of God are we even able to come together. That's true. It's only by the Spirit of God. God's plan for mankind was to have a mediator. And that mediator was in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of an earthly mother, but a heavenly father. We are not. We are born of earthly parents. The difference for Jesus was that because he was born different from us, he was not under the control of sin. And because he was not under the control of sin, he was under control of the Father to do his will. He did it perfectly. He did it perfectly. He was so perfect that he went to the cross. And he took your sins and my sin and their sins that haven't heard yet and took it to the cross, and God said, well done, you're forgiven. He doesn't hold us at arm's length. He embraces us. There's no wrong that we have done that God can't forgive. No guilt, no shame. Give it to him. When Jesus died on the cross, we call that redemption. He redeemed us. He brought us back to God. Just as we are. And then he exchanges our decision. We exchange our sin-filled life for a spirit-filled one. Think about it. When he died on Good Friday, the exchange was already beginning. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. And through Jesus Christ, we have right standing with God. We're in position now to have communion with God. Free of guilt, free of shame, free of sin. That knowledge of sin is no more. We should be encompassed with the knowledge of God. But Pastor, you don't understand what I've gone through. He paid for it. I don't care what you've gone through. That's your past. If he has nailed it to the cross, all you have is a future. You have hope that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has given to you. Well, you just don't understand. I have all these things that Jesus is not that jack in a box where you just crank it up and he pops up and he blesses you. It doesn't work that way. I'm sure with the Beckfords, when they started out in this journey with Jesus, it was rough. It was rough for us. But what you see is a result of living a life that is pleasing to God. So he says, I'm going to bless you because that's who I am. I'll bless you. We're blessed, but he pours out special blessings to those that he finds favor with. Now, we're not to do things and try to wreak favor with God. Again, comes back to your intention. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. He fulfilled the curse of the law. Redemption, it really means that we are to be bought back from some evil by his payment. Think about it. Before you came to Christ, what did you think about? God wasn't in it. And if God was in it, there was association with guilt and shame. But for us who are in Jesus Christ, I have a future. I don't have a past. I don't live in the past. I like it yesterday when the men were talking about priorities. If you still look at your past and not the future where Christ is, you can be overcome by depression because, oh, whoa, my life is so bad. You're breathing, aren't you? Your life is not bad. There are people around the world that wish they had your problems. We were talking with an individual last night, and Irene said something that I felt very curious about. The problem with our young people today is they have no problems. And so they create problems so they can rebel and give in to that sin. I'm not saying that some of us don't have some medical issues or whatnot, but what I'm saying is, what is the root of it? And the root of it is our eyes are not focused on Jesus. Our eyes are not focused on what he has done. Our eyes are focused on our situation, our problems, our needs. Don't you think God knows your needs and your problems? He expects you to overcome them. Because what you're going through right now doesn't compare to what we are about to enter into with him. Think about heaven. According to Ephesians, I'm there, seated in high places with Christ. Are you? If you're seated there, you have God's perspective of things. Your faith should be on fire. There's nothing that can defeat you. Nothing. But sin is not satisfied because it wants to rule. And that's the reason why none of this flesh will ever inherit the kingdom of God. Turn to John. Jesus didn't just redeem us from the curse of the law. He is our Redeemer. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, that's good. You guys are good students. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life of the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We have given over to Jesus Christ. The light and the life of Jesus Christ dwells in us. But there's still darkness in here. And that darkness doesn't comprehend the things of God. And we try to rationalize it. We try to make sense of it. Romans says the carnal mind is enmity with God. The things of God you cannot understand. I am continuously blown away of how good God is. I think about my personal life and what I have come through. And we have laughed more in the last 3 years at what Satan tried to do. But our focus is on what God wants to do through us. He is the Word. And He wants to take on your flesh. He dwells in you. He wants you to open your mouth up to them and tell them also what He has done for them. They haven't heard. They've heard rumors. They've heard half-truths. They've heard bits of religious jargon. They haven't heard how He's changed your life. You see, when you meet Jesus, you can't stay the same. He is the Word. It's not how much of His Word is in you. It's how much you know Him as the Word. Not as a church. What is He asking you to do for Him? He's asking all of us to lay our lives down. And some of us have. But we've only just begun. Jesus took on human flesh to reveal to us who God is. He is not like any one of us. When I start thinking about how good God is, my mind goes into tilt. I just can't comprehend His infiniteness. I'm limited by time and space. I can only see what God's doing now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can see God now in all of you. And there's a greater hope that I have for all of you. We have not reached our potential. Hebrews 2 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, our children, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know anybody who's afraid to die? I know lots of people who are afraid to die. They're not saved. Jesus died for them so they would have no fear. You are fearless, meaning you have no fear. And if you check out of Hotel 6, you're in the glory. To be absent of the body is to be in presence of God. So there's no time for fear. I know this. If I make a deal with God, and I have, He's going to bring it to the end so that I can see how good He is. And if He's willing to do that for me, take on my flesh, my children's flesh, to serve somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, then so be it. I love recklessly for God. Some people may misconstrue that. They may say, oh, you're really passionate, or you're kind of really, really angry about this. No. I'm angry what sin is keeping you from. My anger is not you. My anger is the sin. And God has planned it for our redemption, that when we come to the cross and we nail it to the cross, we give it to Him, we are instructed to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus asked the important question. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith on the earth? Jesus died on a cross to pay for your crimes and my crimes of rebellion. God is so smart, because it's impossible for Him to die, He needed a body to kill to meet the righteous requirements of the law. And that was through Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians. This is you and me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What are you still holding on to that stuff? All things have become new. That word in the Greek, new creation, means it's not something where He just puts a patch on it. You are supernatural now. You are to walk and talk with Jesus. You have all power and authority in Jesus. He has given that to you to set everybody free. Whether they want freedom or not, that's their decision. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to tell them that God is not angry with them. God loves them. And He demonstrates this love, that while we were yet sinners, He died on a cross for us. And that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, to my trespasses, your trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In a court of law, since God is judge, He can declare us not guilty. And He has declared us not guilty. Yeah, we should be hooper and hollering. We should be going nuts. Because without Jesus Christ, in a court of law, we are condemned. But Jesus said, I've died for this one. I've died for that one. I've died. Amen. He has died. He died for me. God is not like us. We can be corrupted. How can we be corrupted? Well, first of all, if we were judge, since Irene's such a good person, there. She's set free. She's not guilty. Because God is not like us. He doesn't do that. Because it's impossible. He's holy. He's pure. And only through the death of Jesus Christ could he declare us not guilty to all who receive him? You see, just because he died on the cross for you, you have to receive him. Amen. You're saved, but you got to receive him to have this deal made. And so he's taken all my guilt and shame, and he's given me his life. If you knew what God has planned for us, and that's why the prophetic was released, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. It's not impossible to God, so it should be not impossible for us. It just takes a little bit of time to happen. So God's not like us. He's not an unjust judge. He can't be corrupted. He has to figure out a way in which his law can be satisfied so that he can say to Irene, you're not guilty. He died on a cross through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ declares Irene not guilty. He never sinned. Think about this. When any of us die for a righteous person, maybe. Put Romans up there. Let them see. I'm just showing you what his word says, and it's impossible for him to lie. He says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. In while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. It's one thing for us to understand about sin. It's another thing to understand what he did on the cross for us. We're here because of some impossible event happened. Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended on the earth from heaven and came and rolled the stone back from the doorway and sat on it. He didn't just push it away. He just sat on it. He was there. This angel wasn't afraid of men. And it says, his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Can you imagine? And we're just starting to experience the angelic. God is for us. An angel is just a messenger from God to us. He rolled away that stone, and those Roman guards were paralyzed with fear. They were unrighteous men standing in righteousness, and they couldn't comprehend it. They were beside themselves. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is not in an empty tomb. I know. I went out there this morning to see the empty tomb. There is an empty tomb at my house. And I didn't find him there." Do you remember when we had sunrise service? So I'm not lying. There is a tomb. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, I have told you. I rejoice greatly in this day, and not just because it's Easter. I rejoice that he saved me. I rejoice that he loved me enough to demonstrate that love to die on a cross. I rejoice in that day because I could not fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. You name it, I broke it. And then some. But I have a hope. I have a future. Jesus died on the cross. He spent 3 days in hell to preach to the souls. And then when he was done preaching, he led captivity to heaven. He took all those Old Testament saints up with him that believed in Messiah. All of them. And it says paradise fell into hell. There was no longer a place to hold them. That's why I said to be separated of the body is to be in the presence of God. There's no place to hold you to believe. You believe and you go when it's time. Many of us who are students of the Bible understand that Stephen was a deacon who saw the risen Christ. And he said to the Lord, don't hold this charge against them. He saw the risen Christ. Think about it. He saw him. How awesome would that be? To see Christ as he is. To see God smiling from ear to ear. Not only at what his son has done, but all of us. There together. Believe me, I've had a lot of time to think about what God has done. I've had a lot of time to think of what God wants to do. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would not be exalted above every person. He would not have a name above all names, in which at the presenting of his name and speaking it forth, every knee will bow. I willingly bow my knee now. So I'm already in the habit. So when I get to heaven, it's no big deal. He's exalted above all others. There's no other God but him. He is the head of the church. He is our high priest. Lest we forget who owns us. And the neat thing is, where he is, he's preparing a home for you and me. In John, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what resurrection means to me. It isn't just the knowledge of knowing the sin has corrupted me. It's not knowing that he died on a cross, a horrendous death. Because that's how sin is. It's horrendous. It's knowing that death could not keep him because it had no claim to him. And he rose from the dead. And it has no claim to us. Because of his blood, we are righteous. And if we do any wrong, we confess that sin to him, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Oh, what an awesome God. I want you to come away today knowing that he's coming. This is an afterthought of, oh, maybe I'll come. This is a promise. He's coming for you, He's coming for me, and He's coming for every believer that we convince to come. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other one. You don't go to heaven through Buddha. You don't go through heaven through your good works. You don't go to heaven because God's a nice guy. You go to heaven because you place your faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. What He's done for you. I want to end. By praying a blessing upon God's people. You are His people. We've had communion. We commune with our God and our Father. I just want to say to you that if there's hurts or pains, you were never designed to carry them. I believe in Jesus, but I gotta carry this hurt, this pain. No, that's why He died on the cross. If you got a hurt or a pain, give it to Jesus. Give it to Him. What He gives in return is so much lighter. You can enjoy it forever. Because no rust or moth will be able to corrupt it. It's invaluable, so there's not a price tag on it. And He doesn't do things with strings attached. If you want to hold on to it, you can hold on to it. And He's right there with you until you're tired of holding on. He'll let you struggle. He'll let you think that you're in control. Jesus is in control. He's in control of me. He's in control of you. The difference is I know that. I know it and realize it. Some of you have not come to that realization. Father, I just ask that You work on the hearts of Your people. Take away all that would hinder them. That they would see Your light and Your glory. That they would choose to love unconditionally. As You have chosen to love us unconditionally. You have fulfilled all the conditions. You have gone to the cross. You have paid the price for us. And You have cleansed us in Your blood. You are our Passover lamb. You are He who is our scapegoat. Jesus, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And cause us to behold Your glory in the kingdom now and in the kingdom to come. We thank You for this day. We thank You for the work of the cross. Continue to have the work of the cross in our lives from this day and forevermore. And Jesus' people said, Amen. 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 Go in peace.